This is a 720 to go podcast from Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
This podcast is sponsored by ADM.
As one of the world's largest agricultural processors, ADM is uniquely positioned to serve the world's growing needs for abundant food and renewable energy. ADM.
When it comes to the business of America's farmland, you need the information from the people who know it best. That's why we bring you AgriCast with Orion Samuelson and Max Armstrong.
Well, thank you very much, Roger, for the birthday greetings, because I don't have a birthday. I have a birth month. So the month of celebrating has begun, and I always enjoy it. And part of the fun is hearing from people like you and people all over the country who find time to email me and let me know that they're wishing me a happy birthday. So thank you very much for that. And as we go into the Passover and the Easter weekend here in Arizona, the locals are going to be talking and complaining a little bit about this much heat this early in the season, because they're talking 90 degrees today and tomorrow in the Valley of the Sun in the Phoenix area. So we Midwesterners will enjoy, but the locals say, no, too early, too hot. So here on the Saturday morning show, Max Armstrong standing by. He'll be talking to Paul Georgie of Allendale and getting reaction to the reports from USDA that came out this week. The reports that normally would be out on Friday, the last Friday of March, but because of Good Friday, government offices closed and no trading here in the U.S. And so that means traders have 3 days to digest some of the numbers that came out in the report earlier this week. And we're going to talk about an event coming up the first weekend of April that I'll want to share with you if you have a family, because it's aimed at kids, but it's farming and an idea of what it's like to sit in a real tractor seat. We'll talk about that opportunity with Steve Arnold at the Kane County Farm Bureau a little bit later in the program. And Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue on the road again. No, not in the air, on the road in an RV, taking his third Back to the Roots RV tour starting on Tuesday, traveling 3 days next week, and we'll talk more about that here on the program this morning. But stay with us, because we're going to join Steve Arnold when we come back here on the Saturday morning show. There is an event in St. Charles, Illinois, the first weekend of April, April 6, 7, and 8, that I find absolutely fascinating and delightful, and it's particularly geared to toward young kids who maybe never get a chance to sit in the tractor seat, but now that could happen. With me on the line this morning is Steve Arnold, who is manager of the Kane County Farm Bureau. And Steve, fill me in, because this event has been going on a few years, has it not?
That's right, Orion. This will be our 13th year for Touch a Tractor. And we do this event on about 2 acres of lawn at the Kane County Farm Bureau on Randall Road in St. Charles. Basically, we fill the lawn up with modern farm machines, but also with antique tractors. And it's an opportunity for an urban and suburban audience to come out and learn a little bit more about where their food comes from and what happens on the farm. Lots of activities and events for children, as well as lots of opportunities for adults not only to learn about agriculture and where their food comes from, but to win some interesting prizes.
Well, tell me about the prizes.
Well, first of all, for our Farm Bureau members, we have a drawing, a sweepstakes to win a 2-year lease on a new Ford F-150 truck. We will have a variety of Ford vehicles here. Ford is a partner with the Farm Bureau in offering member discounts. But we also have a raffle that we do every year to raise funds for college scholarships. This year our raffle prize is a 1965 Ford F-100 pickup truck. So we'll also be selling chances for that, as well as $1 bucket raffles for about 15 different farm toys, ranged in price from $25 to $100.
Well, one of the questions from parents of a younger child, can kids actually sit in a tractor seat at this event?
Kids can sit on the seats of perhaps a dozen or more antique tractors, as well as some modern farm equipment. We do have partners, including AGCO Parts, local John Deere dealers, a local New Holland dealer, that will be bringing new farm equipment, as well as farmers that will be bringing the antique tractors. But we also have other activities for kids. They'll be able to play with farm toys, climb up and down on bales of straw, ride pedal tractors in a pedal tractor corral, and a variety of other things for kids to do, as well as farm animals and baby chicks on site.
And what about the charge for the event, and where does that money go?
The Touch a Tractor is a fundraiser for our Kane County Farm Bureau Foundation. We use the money that we receive from Touch a Tractor to provide college scholarships. On Sunday at Touch a Tractor, we will give out $28,000 in scholarships to 24 college students. The admission is $2 per adult and $5 for family. We like to say it's a full day of family fun for only $5, and you can't find that kind of bargain many other places.
No, you really can't. Now, what about owners of antique tractors? How do you get them involved?
We are always looking for more antique tractors. We think that they're the big hit of the event. The kids like to get on the antique tractors. It's a great photo op for moms and dads. It's also something that brings out lots of farmers. Farmers themselves like to see the antique tractors, right. And that's really where Touch a Tractor came from. It's the intersection of getting that interaction between farmers and consumers. So anyone that likes to bring an antique, would like to bring an antique tractor, is welcome. They can call us at 630-584-8660. And we are more than willing to have all types of antique tractors. And if they are tractors that are well restored and show, we can separate those from the crowd so that they're not tractors that are climbed on by our visitors.
And as I look at your press release, it says kids can participate in hands-on activities, ride pedal tractors, shell corn. That one interests me. Do you have a corn sheller?
We will have a hand corn sheller there. So again, a little bit of nostalgia, a little bit of an opportunity to see how things were done on farms generations ago. We will also have our young farmers present at FFA and at Touch a Tractor, along with FFA chapters. And young farmers will be telling our audience about farm safety and how visitors to farms can avoid farm accidents, because farms still are dangerous places.
And I also note you're asking people, if they can, to bring non-perishable food items. What do you look for there, and where will the food go?
We basically look for shelf-stable food items, whether that is boxed or canned food items. We will select a local food pantry to receive all of the donations, but that is part of a Harvest for All hunger relief effort that our organization has been involved with the Northern Illinois Food Bank and 28 local food pantries for the past decade. So it's an opportunity to do some good in the community.
And I also note that one additional entry to the free pedal tractor drawing will be given to those who bring food items.
That's correct. We want to do everything that we can to raise hunger awareness and to encourage hunger relief. So we do give away a free pedal tractor at the conclusion of Touch a Tractor. Kids 8 and under can enter to win the pedal tractor, and if mom and dad bring some extra food, they'll get one extra entry for a chance to win that pedal tractor.
Okay, let's talk about dates, let's talk about time, and best way to get there. You're practically on the Kane County Fairgrounds, so a lot of people who go to the fair are, I'm sure, familiar, but give us the details on where and when and what time.
Okay. So Touch a Tractor will be held Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, April 6th, 7th, and 8th. Our hours are 12 to 4 on Friday, 10 to 4 on Saturday, and 10 to 3 on Sunday. The Farm Bureau is located on Randall Road in St. Charles, at the corner of Oak Street and Randall Road. For our urban listeners, that's about halfway between Main Street in St. Charles, which is Illinois Route 64, and State Street in Geneva, which is Illinois Route 38.
Easy access, and the event, as you say, a full day of family fun for $5, and kids can enjoy, but adults can enjoy the antique tractors, because as you said, they still love the antique tractor.
Adults definitely love the antique tractors, regardless of where they come from. And again, we welcome participation from friends we haven't met yet, not only to come to Touch a Tractor, but also if they have antique tractors. We would encourage them to get in touch with us.
And that phone number again?
630-584-8660.
Steve, thank you very much for joining us, and we hope we have good weather and a big crowd a week from now in St. Charles, Illinois. Visit with Steve Arnold, who is the manager of the Kane County Farm Bureau, hosting the 13th annual Touch a Tractor. More to come when we continue on the Saturday Morning Show. We are about 5 minutes away from news headlines with Roger coming up at 5:30, and then in part two of the Saturday Morning Show, Max will talk to Paul Georgie of Allendale in McHenry, Illinois, to get reaction to the quarterly grain stocks report and planting intentions report that came out on Thursday. Some surprises there, certainly in those numbers. But before we leave Touch a Tractor, Steve asked if I could mention one more thing. One of the people and companies involved in the Touch a Tractor event a week from now, AGCO Parts. And they're going to be selling, at a very reduced price, a tractor pillow. So if your kids would like to sleep on a tractor pillow, or if you would like to sleep on a tractor pillow, the folks at AGCO Parts will be selling what normally would cost $20. They'll be selling for $2 or $3, depending on size, but it will be a tractor pillow. And the funds that are taken in from that sale will go to help farmers who have been injured in farm accidents. So you can not only sit in a tractor seat, but you can get a tractor pillow to sleep on at the Kane County Fairgrounds Farm Bureau next weekend. And we talked about that, of course, so you know about it. Something happened this week in an area where it normally probably wouldn't happen. A huge farmland auction. Now, normally you'll see those in wheat country and in the western part of the country. This one was in Grant County, Wisconsin, southwestern corner of the state. Auction of 2,050 acres drew a standing room only crowd Wednesday of this week, and it resulted in a purchase price of $17,621,000. That report in this week from Steffa's Group, who marketed the property and conducted the auction. Event attracted 130 registered bidders and more than 150 people to the Grant County Fairgrounds in southwestern Wisconsin. And most of the land was tillable. But the auction also included a modern cattle feeding facility, 4 confinement hog finishing units, 3 residences, and some recreational land. But that one of the bigger audiences we've seen for a farm auction in the heart of the Midwest. More than half of the land selling for more than $8,500 per acre, and a number of tracts of land exceeding $9,000 an acre. Quite an auction, quite an event in southwestern Wisconsin. Well, we did have a lot to talk about after the Thursday reports on from USDA on planted acreage intentions. And some surprising numbers there that Max and Paul Giorgi will be talking about here in a minute. And then on Thursday afternoon, the pig crop report. So if you've been wondering how many hogs and pigs we have in the United States, I'll have that answer for you too. And it'll all happen when we continue here on the Saturday morning show on Chicago's very own 720. Well, thank you very much, Roger, and you have a great Saturday and an Easter weekend and a Passover weekend and whatever activities are going on. Loyola is a big one, of course, as you just mentioned. So a lot going on this weekend as we continue with the Saturday morning show, where it's time for Samuelson Says, brought to you by Wink Products Company, makers of quality specialty cleaning products since 1947. The Wink folks, a sponsor that's been with us for a long time here on the Saturday morning show, and we thank them very much. But I am Orion Samuelson this week talking about a lot of unfinished farm business in Washington. It's that time of year again, time to tackle some difficult tasks like cleaning those appliances. And you don't want to forget your most treasured appliance, the coffee maker. Wink Products Coffee Maker Cleaner is the perfect cleaning solution to remove those nasty mineral deposits that make coffee taste metallic and cause your coffee maker to clog. So pick up Wink Coffee Maker Cleaner today and see what a difference it makes. Learn more at WHINK.com. Well, the crop year for 2018 is getting underway. Reports this past week from southern states showing as much as 60 to 70% of the corn crop planted in the southern states. But farmers, regardless of where they are in the work season for springtime, keep looking toward Washington, D.C., where there is some very important unfinished business that has to be taken care of. Farmers don't plan from year to year. They plan from 3, 4, 5 years as they look into the future. And that's why they need to know what's going to happen with NAFTA and what's going to happen with the new farm bill that is due a little bit later this year. Congress is working on the farm bill, Trump administration working on NAFTA. That continues to be an interesting scene because over the last year or so, every month we get a different report on the future for NAFTA. And generally, the three countries involved, Mexico, Canada, and the United States, have different outlooks on what's going to happen to NAFTA. That's a trade agreement that has been in place since Bill Clinton was president. But it is important to American farmers and ranchers because we produce so much more than we can consume that trade is a vital part of not only the agricultural economy, but the national economy. And agriculture is the one area where we still have a positive trade balance in partnerships around the world. So we do need to get the NAFTA agreement rewritten. The 8th meeting will begin next month when representatives from Mexico, Canada, and the United States will gather in Washington, D.C. to continue work on more than agricultural trade, because there is manufacturing trade, how much North American content there will be in automobiles produced in Japan and Korea. And so it's important that NAFTA gets completed. And then, of course, the Farm Bill. Every 5 years, we have to write a Farm Bill. And that bill takes a look at agriculture, its needs, and the kind of a safety net our food providers need to continue in business. And Congress generally is late on getting the Farm Bill finished. It would be nice this year if we could see the Farm Bill finished and signed by President Trump by the time the crop year comes to an end. It's due out this fall. So, a note to Washington, to our trade negotiators, and to our members of Congress. Let's get at it, and let's get it done in time for farmers to make long-term plans in the future. My thoughts on Samuelson Says, a presentation of Tribune Radio Networks. A lot of numbers out in the marketplace this week with the reports from Washington, from USDA, and Max Armstrong and his guest will join us to talk about those numbers and what they mean when we continue on the Saturday Morning Show.
With us this weekend to talk about the markets, Paul Giorgi, Allendale Incorporated, with a big set of numbers this week from government reports. Much anticipated report, the prospective plantings report at the end of March every year is much awaited. Grain stocks numbers give us a look at the supplies here and around the world. First of all, the planting intentions report, there were a couple of surprises there, weren't there?
Well, I think the big surprise was the soybean planted acres. The USDA came out with 89 million acres. That was a million less than what they had at the forum in February, and quite a surprise. Most analysts were looking for an increase in acres, maybe 91 million acres. But bottom line is the report says 89 million acres, and I think the reality of it is, though, when it comes to June final report of the amount of acres planted, we're probably going to see more beans planted than the 89 million acres. The other side of the surprise was on the negative side, stocks. Quarterly stocks report in soybeans increased. We went up to 2.1 billion bushel for soybeans ending stocks. The trade was looking for about 2 billion bushel. So that is going to lead to larger ending stocks for the 2017-18 marketing year, and it should counterbalance some of the acres excitement that we've seen here in the trade on Friday.
The corn stocks number, the projection for the ending stocks of corn, it was actually bigger than expected. But now, globally, we are trimming down corn supplies, are we not, for the first time in about 6 years?
We are trimming down corn supplies, and a lot of that is coming or due to the Chinese attitude about using a lot of their stocks for ethanol. They're getting into the ethanol business in China and consuming corn there for their own livestock industry, using their corn rather than importing it. I think we're also using corn at a rapid rate here in the United States because of ethanol production. So that's helping. We still have the problem with supply in the U.S., which will more than likely keep a lid on, keep a headwind against a lot of price rallies here in the corn market in the coming months, at least until we get into the summer and worry about weather and this crop that we've got going in the ground here very shortly.
But if we were to run into some weather problems, and if we were to plant indeed less corn because of for example, a wet April, this whole situation is looking not nearly as bleak as far as corn is concerned as it has over the past couple of years, correct?
Well, I think we've got a chance where we could see some volatility in corn. I think we still have to realize that we've got a big supply here in the U.S. that we have to get rid of and whittle down to a more realistic number, maybe. The other side of that coin is the weather. And yes, if we have weather problems, we will have a price rally, and that will create some excitement. You also will have be watching the Chinese weather this year very closely and see how their crop progresses, because they're basically on the same time zone and time frame that we are for growing a crop. So yes, to answer your question in one word, yes, it is going to be volatile. We've got brighter spots ahead of us. I think we don't want to get too excited, though. From a producer standpoint, we need to still look at marketing grain when it becomes profitable for us, and not market grain when we have to or panic sell. And I think we're going to see some ebb and flow in price as we move into the planting season. And then, of course, it's going to be very important during pollination season in July.
When this intentions report survey takes place, it's the beginning of March, and it is what farmers tell the USDA that they're going to do. That's always kind of a wiggly thing, kind of squishy, isn't it, from the standpoint of reality?
It certainly is, because corn, I think the producers are going to plant less corn. That's what they told us on our survey. The survey that we had done during that same time, the early part of March, and we released the number there to the 14th of March, they said they were going to plant a lot more beans. Now, the reality here is, in when you do the number crunching, the amount of acres that is taken out of corn and soybean fields, we're putting some of it to cotton, some of it to wheat. North Dakota is going to be a big switch, I think, this year from corn and soybeans to wheat. Simply because of the cost of putting the crop in. And they've had that break in the growing cycle up there of wheat after wheat every year. Now they can go back to wheat and probably get a pretty good yield. So those are areas that was obvious that would change. The big change in question will be, are the Midwest farmers going to plant their acres, or are they going to plant corn or soybeans? They really don't have any other option, or let it fallow.
The bankers have weighed in some on this already, have they not, from the standpoint, Paul, of influencing the growers about this cost of production on corn?
Well, the bankers that I've talked to in recent weeks, I get a very confused decision on it. They let the farmers decide what they want to plant, and if they've got the finances to do it. And a lot of the guys are saying, well, they're staying with rotation. So that means they're 50-50 or whatever rotation they're in, and they're willing to finance that. Now, the big question in at the banking level is, what are we going to get for our crop? What's our break even? And they want to see some hedges being made, some sales being made. And I think that's where the bank is probably influencing the bottom line the most. What is that farmer going to do? And I think when you get to planting corn or soybeans, the further north you get, the harvest season isn't quite as large, or harvest window. So they may not be switching to as much soybeans there. And of course, if the weather is good May 1st, what are they going to plant? Probably corn.
Well, weather will be so pivotal, as you and I visited here over the past few minutes. We'll have to watch it closely, won't we? I mean, there will be already, you know, you sense it talking to growers that they're seeing way too much rain. They don't like the looks of this. And I've heard this from growers in the past week, from southern Indiana to North Carolina, to western Kentucky, to central Illinois. So it's a wide geography where we're getting antsy here.
Well, I think that, and it is something to be concerned about, although we have to remember, we're still in March, and we have to, but they are getting antsy. It is critical this year with less acres. We're going to need an ideal crop to have some good production to fill our needs, I believe, the stocks, the usage, and so forth. So that, I think, is important. But once this USDA report is over and we have a day or two to think about it, you're right. We're going back to following weather. What is the weather forecast over the next 2 weeks? And that is going to be a factor that's going to influence this market dramatically.
Monday afternoon planting progress reports have become crucial here before too long.
And we know that we've got the equipment and the facility, the faculties to get this crop in the ground, even if it is the first or second week of May. So, but we will, that will be hype, and we will be using that to talk about here in the next several weeks.
So many of our growers have become accustomed to operating in a very narrow window. They're geared up for it, and we can plant a lot in just a few days, can't we?
We can plant a lot of corn. We can plant over 50% of the corn in 1 week. So it's we just need a window of opportunity, and the farmers will take advantage of it.
Paul Georgie, thank you. It's nice to talk to you.
Thank you, Max.
Paul Georgie, Allendale Incorporated.
We are coming to the close of the Saturday morning show, and I do want to take the opportunity to thank all of you who have emailed birthday greetings. Didn't plan to turn it into a birthday party for the Big O, but you have, and I've been hearing from a lot of folks around the country during the broadcast this morning, one of them being Bill Northey, who is now on staff at the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington. He, of course, was prominent in Iowa agriculture for many, many years. Now he's moved on to the national level. Heard from Eldon Gould, who used to be a part of USDA in Washington, D.C. And thanks to all of you, really. And thank you for listening and making it possible for me to stay on the WGN microphone for 57 years. So thanks for that. Hadn't planned on it, but thank you. And I do want to look ahead to the coming week. And one of the things I have mentioned that I like about Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue, he doesn't farm from Washington. He goes to the country and talks to farmers. So this coming week, on Tuesday, he will kick off his third Back to Our Roots RV tour to hear ideas and concerns from local farmers, agriculture students and researchers, business owners, community leaders, and employees of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And the secretary says, before taking off on that RV tour, as always, our Back to Our Roots RV tour is an opportunity to get out of Washington to hear directly from the American people in the agricultural community. And the secretary went on to say, while Congress continues its work on the Farm Bill, rural prosperity, and many other agricultural priorities, USDA stands ready to assist in any way possible and to be a voice for America's farmers, ranchers, producers, and foresters. So the tour gets underway on Tuesday, and it continues through Friday next week. And the secretary will be making stops in Michigan, Ohio, and Canada. And on his first stop in Michigan, he'll be visiting Michigan State University. So we wish him a safe trip. I had the opportunity to attend one of his listening sessions that he held in Arizona last year. And I'll tell you this, Secretary does very little talking, but he does a whole lot of listening in these visits with farmers and the agricultural community. So we wish him a safe and a successful trip as he heads there. One other note, I'm always surprised at how some of these things come about. I received an email about a month ago from a listener wanting to know whatever happened to the Peace Corps. Well, I found out this week because Dr. Josephine Olson was sworn in as the 20th director of the Peace Corps, and she has served the agency in various capacities, including as a Peace Corps volunteer in Tunisia from 1966 to 1968. And she is committed to leading a Peace Corps that remains the world's preeminent volunteer agency, offering all Americans the opportunity to serve their country She envisions recruiting skilled and resilient volunteers who stand ready to achieve the greatest impact. And in the months ahead, she will focus on ensuring that Peace Corps sends volunteers to countries where they are needed the most. And over the years of the Peace Corps existence, I have followed the success stories of young Americans who go to places in the world that they probably never ever thought they would visit. And they go there as volunteers and teach a lot of agriculture production techniques. And so congratulations to Dr. Josephine Olson, 20th director of the Peace Corps, and wish her well in that activity. Well, we talked about market numbers earlier in the program, and the market certainly reacted to those. Oh, by the way, after the markets closed on Thursday, we did get the quarterly pig crop inventory, and if you want this for your dinner conversation, total number of hogs and pigs in the United States as of March 1st, 72,900,000 hogs. That's up 3% from March a year ago, but it's down 1% from December 1st of last year. Breeding inventory, 6,200,000 head, up 2% from last year. And market hog inventory at 66,700,000 head was up 3% from last year, but down 1% from the last quarter. Markets reacted different directions to those Thursday reports from the USDA. Livestock futures, for example, sharply lower, particularly the cattle market, which was down limit in the June, August, and October contracts, down the $3 daily limit. On the other hand, the grain market, a total green screen on Thursday, particularly soybeans. The July contract ended the week at 10.55 and a half, up 26 and a quarter cents a bushel. July corn ended at 3.96 and a quarter a bushel, a gain of 13 and a half cents on Thursday. And even wheat ended higher. July wheat up 6.5 cents a bushel, 4.68 and a half. So a lot of activity. Now the activity will head for the field as soon as they dry out across the country and planting season gets underway in the heart of the Corn Belt. And so we wish you a safe planting season. Thank you, as always, for joining us. Thanks to Bob Ferguson, our engineer in Chicago, who makes sure this all happens. And, of course, we're always grateful to you for your listening here on WGN Radio. The Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago.
Orion Samuelson keeps you connected to the world of business and agriculture on WGN. Hear his reports weekday mornings on The Steve Cochran Show and during the noon hour on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Plus, catch Orion and Max on Saturday mornings at 5 a.m. only on Chicago's WGN Radio 720.